everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory. Cruelly treated, abused, and neglected, my next guest would seek refuge through the stories and lives of others. Anything to transport her from the life she had known to the life she someday hoped to have, and the someone one day she hoped to be. But how? What would start as a life of utter rejection would soon be turned into a life of realized hope. A hope that would reach nations, save lives, bring justice, but most of all, bring love to the very enemy that sought to destroy her and the God she stood for. Here to share her amazing story in part one of my three-part exclusive is internationally acclaimed human rights attorney and allied attorney with Alliance Defending Freedom, speaker, writer, and author, her latest memoir, Saving My Assassin. Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome to Testimony, a great joy indeed, Miss Virginia Prodan. Virginia, welcome to Testimony.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me, Jason.
Well, it's great to have you. Am I pronouncing your name, your last name, correctly?
I believe so. Say it one more time.
Prodan.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, fantastic. Well, Virginia, your life growing up in communist Romania was anything but ideal. I'd like for you to share with our listeners just what that was like for you, and then tell us how you came to faith in Jesus Christ. Virginia Prodan, please tell us that story.
Happy to do it. I live in a land in communist Romania that I call a land of lies and a prison land. It was a land of lies because our government decided to control us and silence us, and by doing that, they decided to label every question, every concern that we had as anti-government statement. So for that reason, the majority of people were very silent and obedient. They will do whatever it takes because anyone who was not obedient or silent or did not agree with the government will disappear, will be out of job, or will be killed. So for that reason, the majority of people were silent. Among the people that I watched as a kid being silent were my parents. They were very obedient outside, but I noticed and I heard them several times inside of the home whispering and expressing their real feelings and thoughts about the communists. And as a young kid, I watched them and I said to myself, I do not want to live this kind of life, a fear and double life, one outside and one inside. Coupled with that, we as a family, we had every year like family reunions, and we had a great time. But as a kid, I noticed that some of my lawyers were always surrounded by people, and they were asking questions. And I thought, just by watching them, that my relatives, lawyers, had to have the answer to their questions. So I put those two things together. I don't want to live a fearful and double life like my parents. And these lawyers have an answer. So I thought to myself, as a 6-7 years old kid, I found the way. I will go to law school, and I will find the truth, and I will speak up for the truth. So little I knew that in communist Romania, you don't go to law school and you don't apply to law school like you apply here. The government controls everything because the government had to make sure that the students admitted in law school, and especially in Bucharest Law School, that they will become soon ambassadors, attorney generals, and other big judges. They will have to be loyal to the government. So they made a very strict procedure of law school admission. And in order to be admitted at law school, your political file had to be admitted first. Under communist Romania, the communist government had a file on every single person from birth to death. And they were controlled, they were supervised, and everything about them were part of that file. So the three requirements for the law school political file to pass the government approval were the following. First, my parents were not put in jail for opposing the government. The second one, my parents were not arrested or ever under interrogation for saying something against the communist government. And the third one, my parents were not Christian. So in this situation, my file was accepted, and I was allowed to take the entrance exam for law school. And I was so happy the day when I was admitted, and all 4 years of law school, I was so happy to make sure that I study very well, because in my mind, I thought that I'm going to find the truth in those law books.
Amen and amen. Now, Virginia, for our listeners, I want to go back to your childhood. One of the founding scriptures of this radio broadcast is Revelation 12:11, which states, "We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony." And what I found so remarkable about your story was that you had to overcome unbelievable odds to even apply to law school. Your growing up was in a home of, in my view, utter rejection from the parent that was supposed to have loved you. And I don't want to spoil it for our reader, but there are many surprises in your book along the way that you would find out much later. But I have a question for you. You're a fair-haired, freckle-faced, red hair beauty. You don't look anything like your family, and they seem to detest the very ground that you walk on. So question, what would you say, Virginia, was the hardest for you as a child growing up in communist Romania? The lack of freedom, the lack of love, or the constant fear that you or a loved one might someday, as you talk about in your book, just simply disappear? Can you explain?
In all those, lack of love, lack of freedom, and people disappearing, the entire thread and the hardest part in my life was my desire as a kid to find the truth. It was not only the truth to speak up, as I explained it before, but the truth about myself, the truth about who I was, who were my real parents, why I was treated so differently and so cruel, why I looked so differently, like nobody else. I had red hair and freckles and a white skin, and the rest of the family had a different appearance. And that was painful, because it was a daily reminder, plus the words of my own parents, the people that I spent my 18 years in that small town in Romania, especially Elena, who reminded me daily that I was there just to serve her. I was not part of the family. That was being part of the family. Knowing the truth about yourself and why people were afraid to speak the truth was maybe the hardest, or were the hardest things that I had to deal in my childhood. But also, it was the way that God guided me to Him.
Amen and amen, because you sought, as I introduced you earlier, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to international human rights attorney Virginia Prodan, her just-released memoir, Saving My Assassin, a must-read for every generation. Virginia, in my introduction of you, you escaped into books. Jane Eyre was someone you mentioned. Why?
Because she, in many ways, I related to her. And because out of the books, because I was so different and I was so isolated, not even being allowed to play with other kids outside, I was supposed to cover my hair and do all kind of things to hide myself from other people to see me. I found my real friends in books. I found my real friends in connecting with people like her, because in many ways she was like me, but she was a conqueror. She was victorious in her life, and I never accepted the conditions. I always believed and thought that one day I will leave that place, and somehow I will be a victorious in my future by my actions and by my dreams.
Amen and amen, and you did that, and beautifully so. Now, in our remaining moments here for this segment, how did all of this play into your receiving Jesus Christ?
I learned everything that was possible in law books, and I graduated at 10% of my class, and I started to practice as a lawyer, and every day I was joyful and anticipating that day will be the day when I will find out the truth. And after a few years of practicing, I came to my office, and I said to my secretary, I did everything was possible for the time that I was 6, graduated from law school, I cannot find the truth. And she looked up at me and she said, welcome to reality. There is someone in your office and you need to see it. When I went inside of my office, as my secretary told me that there was a man waiting for me, I recognized an old client. I have been dealing with him for more than a year, and he was there bringing me new documents and telling me about the new facts in his case. But that day, even before that day, I noticed that he was very different than anyone else. I couldn't answer why in the land of hopelessness he had hope, and in the land where there it was no joy, he had joy. But I was so busy with helping him, I never asked. But I noticed those elements in his life. But that particular day when my entire world collapsed because I realized that I cannot find the truth, and he was talking with me about the new facts and elements in his case, I didn't listen to him. I was just thinking, where is the truth? And all of a sudden, I pointed to him and I said, I want to have in my life what you have in your life. And he stopped, looked at me, and he said, do you go to church? And I was so shocked and surprised. I was thinking, what in the world going to church has to do with finding the truth?
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to acclaimed international human rights attorney, speaker, writer, and author Virginia Prodan. Her just-released memoir, Saving My Assassin. You can learn more about Virginia's work, ministry, and mission by visiting virginiaprodanbooks.com and get her book, Get Inspired, Get Help, but most of all, get hope that nothing is impossible with God. Virginia, your incredible life and story is one I could not put down, every page more riveting than the next. Your story, Saving My Assassin, is a classic triumph of courage in the face of fear and deliverance from a life of despair and hope that when faced with even death, God is always greater. Virginia, we look forward to hearing much, much more next week. God bless you.
God bless you too.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, jensinebard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony. Last week you heard the harrowing story of one woman's journey to faith in Jesus Christ and the strength she would need to overcome not only the brutal regime she lived under in communist Romania, but that of her own family. Or were they? These and other questions would taunt my next guest for years to come. What was the truth? And why was everything such a secret? In the meantime, Virginia would persevere to realize her dream of becoming an attorney, go on to marry, have children, and all the while continue speaking truth to power. But at what cost? Here to share more of her incredible and true story is international human rights attorney, speaker, and author of her just-released memoir, Saving My Assassin. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to testimony, Virginia Prodan. Virginia, welcome back to testimony.
Thank you so much.
Virginia, your life and life's work reads like a thriller novel, in my view. I absolutely loved your book. It's the one that movies are made of and should be. For this segment, I want to pick up where we left off last week in part two of our three-part conversation. The man who walked into your office, what was different about him and why that led you to faith in Jesus Christ? And then I want you to take our listeners through those dark days of interrogation, the politics of the courtroom, and the miracles that would transpire because you chose to stand for freedom. Virginia Prodan, please tell us more.
I remember the day, as we talked last time, that I came from my work in the courtroom, and I was so discouraged that I couldn't find the truth. I was searching for the truth all my life. But the day when I came to my office and I expressed to my secretary that I cannot find the truth, so I don't want to be a lawyer anymore, she just looked up at me and said, "Welcome to reality. There is someone in your office, and you take the file." So she gave me the file. I walk into my office, and I recognize the client. I have been working with him for more than a year, helping him. And I noticed several things in his life. I noticed that he had joy in a joyless land. He had hope when nobody else had hope, and many other qualities. But I was just thinking about where is the truth, where I can find the truth. And all of a sudden, I pointed to him, and I said, "I want to have in my life what you have in your life." And he said, "Do you go to church?" And I was so surprised. I was asking myself, what going to church has to do with anything about finding the truth? But I was so determined to find the truth, and I just responded, yes, at Christmas and Easter, it was just a ritual. So he invited me to his church, and again, I did something that was very dangerous after communists. I said yes, without asking what church, where he's going to take me, but again, there was a desire to find the truth. So the next Sunday, he was waiting for us in front of the church, so I took my girls, and we arrived there, and I noticed there was a different kind of church like any other church. I went inside, and I remember hearing the choir singing, "Sinner, Come Home," but I didn't recognize the word sinner. I didn't know what that was, but I noticed there was a very welcome atmosphere. So as soon as we stood in our chairs, the pastor came and opened the Bible and read, "I am the truth, the way, and the life." And I was glued to the pastor. I really believed that he was talking to me, and Christ came so real. I realized that all my search for the truth, I was looking in the wrong places. I could not find the truth in law books, but the truth was in the Bible, Jesus Christ. And that day I accepted Christ. And I did not realize that I was the only lawyer in Romania accepting Christ. And soon after that, lots of churches and Christians came to me to help them. Because Christians who will have a Bible in their homes or share the Bible with others will be put in jail for having a Bible or sharing the Bible. Christians who will watch a Jesus movie will be put in jail, and their children will be taken to government orphanages. Churches will be demolished because the government never allowed them to extend or maintain the church. And of course, the government took the land, demolished the churches, and took the land. But when I started to defend those churches, I used the laws that we had in Romania, the laws that were adopted long before communists came to Romania, but they were in the book, and I used them to protect the churches and Christians. But the government was not very happy. Under interrogation and there is surveillance and threats, I was told that when I use those Romanian laws, I am an enemy of the state, because the government said that those laws were just a window kind of protection for the Romanian government to prove to the Western civilization that we have a protection of religious rights and freedom. But every lawyer was threatened not to use, and none of them used. I was the only one using. And the more I won those cases, the more I became a target to the government. I was put under house arrest. I was interrogated daily. I was tortured. I was told that I will be killed or my kids will be killed. And I got to a point where I was close to be actually executed by the order of Ceausescu himself. But by the grace of God, I'm alive.
Amen and amen. And that was the dictator of Romania at that time, which the end of your book will share. He was dethroned. You stood on your faith in Jesus Christ. You were praying for your persecutors and your enemies while you were going through the courts and being interrogated, which I found to be so remarkable. Because what would explain, Virginia, the faith and the courage you had? You grew up under such fear and oppression. You did not even know who your real parents were. You would find out years later who your real mother was. And that would help explain in part why you had such a painful childhood. You dove into books to get release and to get freedom anywhere but where you were. One of the books that you read was Jane Eyre. And I'd like for you to share with our listeners why Jane Eyre was such a book of hope for you at that time.
I think it was my way of coping with reality. I took courage from her because she was different. Her parents, like I was different in a parent. Her parents didn't like her, like my parents. And she was never a product, or she never accepted to be a product of circumstances. But she was conquering her world by perseverance, by lack of fear. And she inspired me that one day my day will be much better, that I will find the truth about who I was, who my parents were, and that gave me courage. That gave me courage not only for myself, but even for my enemies. I remember many times when they would hit me and blood would come out of my nose or ears or throat, or when they would do crazy things to me in the interrogation room. I remember looking straight up at them, because inside of me I was thinking, they are here by human appointment. They have a job, but I'm here by a godly appointment, that they might see Christ in me and accept him as a Lord and Savior. So out of that, because I look at their souls and not their actions, I told them that I don't like what they were doing, but I know that God loves them, and God wants me to love them. And they were huge, strong men that, after my words of understanding and expressing love, they had to turn their heads because they were crying. Love, Christ's love touches anyone, and we have inside the love of Christ. Christ lives in us, and no matter our pain and our sufferings, we are ready through Christ to show others his love that will conquer them.
Amen and amen. And in reading your book, you have done that, and beautifully so. A testimony, which is the foundation of this broadcast, Revelation 12:11, which states, "We overcome the evil one by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony." You were literally testifying before the courts, the communist courts, at the risk of your own life, when others, when friends, when associates saw what you were doing. and they decided to make an exit and not for truth. Your thoughts on that in our remaining moments here today for part two. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Virginia Prodan, author of Saving My Assassin. Virginia.
I had friends, I remember colleagues in law school, they were prosecutors and judges and lawyers, and I do remember some of them, just seeing them on a hallway of the courtroom, some of them will look into my eyes and say, go on, I don't have your courage. But by their body language, others will put their heads down because they felt sorry for themselves because they don't have that courage. Others will look straight into my eyes and will express, I want to kill you now. You create so many problems. But I think the most important and the highest honor for a Christian is to suffer for Christ and show others the love of Christ, because that is done in God's power. It's beyond our capacity as a human being. Christ in us, as we allowed him to work in us and around us, does that job for us, gives us the love, gives us the understanding, and knowing that we were appointed, I was appointed for a job, that God not only gave me that appointment, but God gave me every tool, even though during that time I had to suffer. But suffering for Christ and our suffering, even under interrogation and torture, it's nothing compared with what Christ suffered on the cross for us to move us from hell to heaven. So we are honored to suffer for Christ.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to acclaimed international human rights attorney, speaker, writer, and author Virginia Prodan on her just-released memoir, Saving My Assassin. You can learn more about Virginia's work, ministry, and mission by visiting virginiaprodanbooks.com and get her book, Get Inspired, and Get Hope That Nothing Is Impossible With God. Virginia, your harrowing story of overcoming what most would have run from and did is one for the ages, a classic case study in faith over fear, Christ over communism, and the saving of souls over self-preservation. You lived it, you know, and in the end, Christ honored it all. We look forward to hearing the stunning conclusion next week. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you, too.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, jensinebard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening. And please join us again for testimony. It's a story that movies are made of and should be. Childhood lost, families torn apart, religious freedom shut down, and the plot to kill the one life that threatened to expose it all and would have but God. In a stunning conclusion after years of successful courtroom battles that would catch the attention of international media, as well as then-President Ronald Reagan, my next guest would escape communist Romania and be given asylum in the land of the free and the home of the brave. But wait, there's more. Here to share the stunning conclusion is international human rights attorney and allied attorney with Alliance Defending Freedom, speaker, writer, mother of three, and author of her just-released and best-selling memoir, Saving My Assassin. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome back to Testimony, such an honor, Virginia Prodan. Virginia, welcome back to Testimony.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Virginia, in our final segment here today, would you begin sharing your newfound freedom And the surprises you found along the way when you made your exit from communist Romania here to the U.S., your book, Saving My Assassin, is more than just a great read, in my view. It's a memoir of the miraculous when Jesus is in it. Virginia, please tell us more of your story.
After years of fighting for freedom and freedom of religion and human rights cases in Romania, not only that, Free Europe and Voice of America started to present every single case that I had, and many times describing the arguments that I have. And one of the arguments that Free Europe and Voice of America explained, that the prosecutor said that in order to have a Bible in Romania, you have to have a permit, because the Bible is a weapon, and in order to have a weapon in Romania, you have to have a Bible. So that was shocking for the entire world. But my response, they presented also my response, that indeed the Bible is a weapon because it changes the soul and the heart of people, and it's a weapon of salvation and not a destruction. And I explained that the prosecutor was wrong, because you don't need a permit for the Bible. And also in Romania, even if you have a permit or somebody gives you a permit, long time right after the communists came to Romania, the communists confiscated all the weapons. So nobody in Romania had a permit to have a gun. But that was very important for the world to hear the fact situation and to understand from a courtroom atmosphere what was inside and how the dictator lied to us, not only to us, but also to the whole world. When people will read my book, Saving My Assassin, they will see that God gave me an absolutely amazing, very big assignment, and that was to expose the Ceausescu's government to the whole world, which I didn't ask for that assignment, but God gave me that assignment. And I had the documents on me in the interrogation room, and I have to say that during that day was the only day when the government did not search me. If they would have found those documents, they had the right to kill me. But God had his protection and his way of showing not only me his protection, but the entire world. And when you fight for freedom, you risk your life, but you also see God's protection. Also, during that time, Congressman Frank Wolf and Christopher Smith will come to Romania and talk about my cases that later on became part of United Nations reports and United States Department reports on human rights violations in Romania. So by what I did, even though the government considered that I was a traitor to the government, I exposed the communist government of Romania that finally, shortly after that, collapsed. God is giving us an amazing job that we cannot do it by ourselves. God did it through me. Of course, for that reason, the American government had the desire, including the Congress, to suspend the most favored nation status to Romania. But President Reagan was afraid that by doing that, Ceausescu will kill me and my family. So for that reason, he decided to give one more year conditional status, with the very important condition that he will let us leave Romania. So we were forced by the government. We were told that we have to leave Romania, otherwise they will kill us. So we left Romania, and when I came to the United States, I didn't know one word in English. I didn't have $1 in my pocket, and I had two girls with me and a soon-to-be-born son. And I master English. I went back to law school here at SMU in Dallas, Texas, and I raised by myself, with God's help, as a single mom, my three kids. My first daughter graduated from SMU, my second daughter from Harvard Law School, and my son from United States Air Force, and he is serving his country as a rescue pilot. And this is United States of America. This is the best country in the world that gives you the opportunity to work hard and accomplish in freedom what you want to do. This is a country that we have to fight and keep all our rights that are God-given rights and not government rights for the generations to come. It is our job. It is our responsibility.
Amen and amen. Well said. Virginia, you were able to successfully deal with injustice you experienced in the courts of communist Romania and at the risk of your own life. And now, as you've just explained in brief, as a practicing attorney here in the United States with your own law firm, VirginiaProdon.com, as well as an allied attorney with Alliance Defending Freedom, question, is America in jeopardy of becoming the country you escaped from? And if yes, why?
I believe it is, and the reason is because we are fearful as people. A lot of people are silent. We need to return to God's value to rebuild America. In many ways, people are more concerned about their own needs than with doing God's will for America. And for that reason, everyone, including ourselves and America, will suffer. And in many ways, people try to be politically correct instead of loving God and being God-obedient people. They have fear of man instead of fear of God. They put their security in their money or in their position or in their job, thinking that if they stand up for what is right, they're going to lose the job instead of putting their trust in God. It's a totally different experience for America. I don't want to sound judgmental. American people brought justice, freedom, and Christ all over the world, but they never experienced a government who took their freedom away or is taking their freedom away. And it's a learning process. I'm sharing those things because I want to help American citizens based on my experience. And I want each one of us to think about what are our priorities. We have to refocus and we have to continue to work and pick up the tools that generations before us used to protect our freedom and our rights. And we enjoy them very much. We are the only generation that might give our children a worse America than the America we receive. And we can fix that. We can stand up. Our action can make a difference. And God is in us, around us, and He can help us. We have to remember that God said, if my people, the hope of America is not in the government or in the president, even though we want them to be with us and protect our rights. But God told us that the hope is in us. Through us, He can rebuild America.
Amen and amen. Well said. Last question in our remaining moments today. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Virginia Prodan, author of Saving My Assassin. We're not going to give away the stunning conclusion of her book. You will have to purchase the book and read it for yourself. And let me tell you, in my view, it's a great and much needed read for every American here and abroad. Virginia, as a born-again Christian and defender of human rights, what do you want to say to those listening here in the United States of America and your homeland of Romania? What is their greatest hope, no matter their circumstance?
No matter their circumstances, we are the children of God. We have been chosen by God to a specific job, each one of us, for a specific time. Each one of us can ask God, and God will tell us, this is the way, walk in it. And when we feel down, as the world comes against us, and I promise you that the world will come against us when we do God's will, we have to remember that God has given us the appointment. He will equip us, and He will do everything in our lives that will change us, will change our country, and will change the world. But willing hands and hearts must do the work. Are your hearts and hands available to God's work in America today?
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to acclaimed international human rights attorney, speaker, writer, and author Virginia Prodan on her just-released memoir, Saving My Assassin. You can learn more about Virginia's work, ministry, and mission by visiting VirginiaProdanBooks.com and VirginiaProdan.net for God and country. Virginia, your incredible life and story is one I could not put down, every page more riveting than the next. Your story, Saving My Assassin, is a classic triumph of courage in the face of fear, deliverance from a life of despair, and hope that when faced with even death, God is always greater. You've lived it, you know, and beautifully so. God gave you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness that not even your enemies could resist. And indeed, they did not. Your would-be assassin, case in point. Thank you, Virginia, and God bless you.
God bless you, too.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensen Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensenbard.com. That's one word, JensenBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensen Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.